My, we're so happy that all of you are here tonight. We have a large attendance for Sunday night, and we're just so glad that all of you came. I know many of you came to hear Spencer, as I did too, and we're looking forward to your message tonight. A lot of your family here, I believe, we're just happy that, and Dad made it too, didn't you, Mike? Amen. We're glad that you made a call on and got here in time. Happy that you're here. I want to have a prayer, and then Spencer, I'm going to let you come and take the pulpit and do what God leads you. It always thrills me for these young men to feel the call to the ministry, and it takes all preachers like myself back to the day when I felt the call. He's 21 and I was 20, and that's been for me 55 years ago, but not so long for you. I'll have a prayer, and then we're going to turn the service over to you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Spencer and for his wife, for his parents and grandparents, his siblings. We pray, dear Father, that you will help all of us. Guide us by your Spirit. We pray that you would lead him in what he preaches for us tonight. Help all of us to listen, to see what you're going to say to us. I pray that you'll help all of us to take this message personally, because we know that you know who is going to be here tonight and who made it, and we know that you have led him to a message, and so we pray your perfect will be done in this message tonight. Bless Spencer and his family, we pray in your holy name. Amen. Come right on, Brother Spencer.
You know, for me, it's a great honor to be able to come and preach at this church. Growing up, this is the church that I was baptized in, that I originally found salvation in. And for me to have the opportunity to come back here and spread the gospel with you, it's truly a blessing for me. I'd like to preach tonight out of Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 10. They're two very famous parables that I'm sure you've heard preached on many times. And I'd like to kind of preach them in a little bit different light with the way that the world's going today, and maybe open your eyes to some things that you haven't seen before in the same scripture. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Those two parables, I know I heard more than once growing up, and they've been preached on a lot. There's one thing that both of those have in common, and that's going after the one. The one being the one sinner that you know that needs to be saved. To leave the 99, to leave this family that you have, to go after the one who needs to be saved. You know, in the world we live in today, I see so many people worrying about number one being their self instead of their lost brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, too many times people are saying, "I have to worry about myself because it's a hard world." You know, with Jesus in our lives, we don't have to worry about ourselves because we know that He has our back. He has us taken care of. So our priority shouldn't be ourselves. Our priority should always be the one that's lost. I'll ask you tonight, you know, are we watching out for those sheep, are we looking for the lost coin? I feel like today I see a lot of people who fall in that aspect. We're not doing what we should be doing to go out and spread the gospel and to bring people to Christ. There's two things that I see that we do a lot. We write people off. You know, if we have coworkers and we work in a big environment, I work at a mechanic shop with six other people. You know, if one person there is not a Christian, it's easy to write them off and talk to the other guy that is, isn't it? It's always easy to stay with the 99. It's always easy to find hope in the ones that are Christians and not worry about the one that isn't, because you know all the rest of them are. You know, we either write them off like that, or we're just content to lose them. We see so many churches today have people get up and walk out the door, and there's nobody there chasing them, trying to figure out why they left, or to get them back. We just let them walk away, because we're content that there's still brothers and sisters around us, and we're still in church. We're worried too much about ourselves today, and not enough about the ones that are lost. I've heard that preached many times, and one thing that's never been pointed out, or hasn't always been pointed out, is how to watch out for the one. How do you watch out? How do you be a good shepherd and find the one sheep that's lost? And I've got 3 points to share with you that have really stuck out to me in reading the Word that are great ways for us to be worried about the one. The first is we have to be selfless. Selfless. That means that we can't worry about ourselves. Our main concern is watching out for other people and helping when they need help. It's really hard to do sometimes, especially people that you don't care for, to step up and help them. Friends, you know, are the easiest ones to help because they're your buddies. They're the people that you're always with. It's so easy to step up and help them. But when you see somebody on the side of the road that needs help, how hard is it to stop and help them? Most of that's because of the society we live in today makes us more scared to do the work of God than to sit at home in our house content with ourselves because we're saved. We're too scared to go out and do the work of God because this world has caged us, has put us down. As long as we're inside these four walls, we're amazing Christian people, aren't we? But what happens when we walk out the door? You know, I'd like to point out a side verse, is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now if you realize, right there, we're told that it's a chain. If you go down to the end of verse 7, that's where it all starts. And it started with love. That's pretty evident. God loved us. In John 3:16 it said, "He sent His Son to die for our sins so that we may have everlasting life." That love is evident. For us to show that love, that's where it starts to get tricky. But that's the first thing we have to do, is we have to show love. What's right after that? We have to add brotherly kindness. That's the selflessness. That's where you find people that need help and help them. That's where you reach out to your enemies to help them in times of need. That's where you get the brotherly kindness. You notice that at the top of the list is faith. I've preached, this is my sixth or seventh sermon. Faith to me is an action. Too many people see faith is just a label, almost like being a Christian. You know, I'm faithful because I have faith. You can't show that you have faith without acting upon it. And right here we learn that to be able to increase our faith, we have to start with love and brotherly kindness. So us sitting at our house or inside these four walls, never doing anything for anyone, can't expect to see great growth in our faith without first doing the acts at the bottom of the list. You know, if you start a brand new job, you're not going to start off president of the company, are you? You've got to work your way up. And you know, it works the same way. Doing the things that aren't fun to do in the kingdom usually builds your faith the most. I found that personally. I was asked to help teach children's church. And I'm not a kids guy, you know. I'd rather teach the senior class than the kids class. That's how I've always been. And Sarah and I started teaching it. And I loved it. And I learned from the kids as much as they learned from me. And to see that, you begin to realize that the struggles that we face, that God puts in our life, those struggles are there to increase our faith. But if we never have the brotherly kindness and the love, if we never step to the bottom of the list and do the things that we don't want to do even though He asks us, we'll never increase in that faith the way that He intended for us to. That's the first point about watching out for people, is having that faith and having that brotherly kindness. The second thing was the one that was at the bottom of the list, is love. We have to show a love like Christ. Christ died on a cross for our sins. If there's somebody that you know that isn't saved, are you ready to pick up a cross and be crucified on it for them? Are you going to step out for them? You know, I have a hard time thinking that I myself, who sometimes drive by somebody on the side of the road and feel guilty about it, how am I going to crucify myself for that person when I can't even stop and ask if they're okay? You know, that's something that we really have to fight to gain, is a love like Christ, because it's so hard to get there. Just like being selfless, they're almost one and the same. It's so important to have that love like Christ. The third thing that I want to point out, you have to remove yourself from comfort. We're in a nice building. Pew was pretty comfortable. I sat on this morning. The AC is set right. We're comfortable. I think that's the biggest reason that we sit there and watch somebody walk out the door into the world of our church, out of our church, because we're too comfortable sitting here to get up and go after them. I have seen so many people and so many churches torn apart because nobody would get up and act. You know, I said faith is an action. To have a love like Christ, to show that faith, to get up and move and get uncomfortable to do something that God asked you to do, that's how you watch out for somebody. That's how you go after the one in the 99. You know, I see so many churches today. I've seen some in our area up in Russellville where we live that will sit around until the entire congregation has walked out the door before the preacher will turn around and say, "What's wrong?" That is so sad. The best way I can put an analogy to that, what really came to my mind, how many times have you looked for one coin? Let's not think about the sheep. Let's think about the coin, because everybody loves money. That's what drives this society, right? We can all do more with more money. So how often do you go after the coin? Physically, I know you don't do it very much. Have you ever walked across a Walmart parking lot? There is change everywhere. Think about this. Here's food for thought. What if instead of losing coins in the parking lot and leaving them to the earth to corrode and to get so bad that you can't even spend them, what if you picked up that piece of change and dropped it in a homeless man's cup? That's one small, mindless task that helps to show love like Christ. And you can walk across, you could probably walk across a Walmart parking lot and feed half the congregation in here. There's so much change and things like that. You know, to say that this world is worried about money and then to see things like that, I know that we live in a very wrong society. But for us, we should not lose that amount of change before we try to pick it up and do something with it. We shouldn't lose, you know, a Happy Meal's worth of change before we go try to cash it in. You know, if you've got a piggy bank, how long do you store up change before you can actually spend it? You know, as Christians, we have to work the church almost like a piggy bank, one piece of change at a time, one coin at a time. Eventually, we'll get so full that we bust out the seams and we have to get a bigger piggy bank. But I know that if we ever get to that point, I won't care, because God always provides for his people. That's it here, and that's the truth. But if we don't help each other, there's not going to be anybody left for God to provide for. We worry in this world, we worry way too much about Christianity and not enough about Christians. Think about it. We worry too much about Christianity and not enough about Christians. I've been on Facebook a couple times in the past week, and I'm sure y'all have seen the same things I've seen. It's either about Confederate flags or equal rights. People are jumping on the bandwagon to comment and say how they feel to protect the name of Christianity. What if in those 20 or 30 or 40 minutes you spend typing up 10 paragraphs to post to the world about how you feel on Facebook? How about you go talk to somebody that you know who needs Jesus? Worry about the Christian. Don't worry about Christianity. If we're doing what we should as Christians, our name is Christianity, our group, our establishment, the one church under God, is going to look perfectly fine, especially in his eyes. We can't worry about what the world thinks about us. We have to worry about each other. And until we get to that point, we're never going to be the church that God intended for us to be. I want to point out one other thing in Luke. In those two parables I read, they talked about going after the one. I read 4 through 10. That is 6 verses. In those 6 verses, it was said 5 times, either rejoice or give joy. If somebody comes up here tonight and asks for salvation, how much joy do we have over that one? We can't find joy in each other. How happy are you to be here, to be in the presence of each other and other Christians? If you can't get happy about the 99 around you, you're not going to be happy about the one. And if you're not happy about one, why should he stay? You know, why should he feel like he should stay a part of us, of the church, under God, if we don't even give joy and thanksgiving to the Lord Almighty that we have another brother or sister in Christ? We have to show that joy. You know, we can't just worry about winning them. We also have to show joy in the fact that we have won them. And I find you'll see two kinds of people in the world, two kinds of Christians, either the kind that aren't worried about winning any souls, that just think they're good enough because they're okay and they're not worried about the person next to them. Or you'll see ones that are so worried about winning souls that they forgot about the ones that they won yesterday. You know, if you brought a visitor to church tonight, did they feel like they belong there? Did you welcome them in? You know, did you give joy in the fact that another member was here? You know, I went to this church growing up some as a kid, and I know that this is a full house. You know, are you thankful for that tonight? Joy is so important when we win over Christians for the Lord. These two parables speak volumes about how we should be acting today. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. But, you know, I feel like if they wanted to know what I thought, the Supreme Court probably would ask my opinion, wouldn't they? They didn't care what I thought. You know, we weren't given a vote of the people. They didn't ask us what we thought. So why am I going to waste my time trying to share things like that on Facebook or any other kind of social media? Why am I going to waste my time that I could be using to further the kingdom of heaven? You know, we've all had a calling to do something placed on our life. God has given every person a calling to do something for the kingdom. What are you doing with that calling? Are you finding your other brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you giving joy over the fact that you have them? Or are you sitting by, confident in your own salvation, and not doing anything for the kingdom? It's so hard to see people like that, especially in your own church. For me, I surrendered the call 3 months ago, back in March. And I told Sarah, I said, I wonder how long it's going to be before Mom schedules me to preach down here. It took her 3 months. But when I was given the opportunity, I jumped at it. I was chomping at the bit for weeks, waiting to come and talk to you. Because the most important thing to me is to further the kingdom of God. And I just pray that that can be your strive each and every day when you wake up in the morning, that you make faith an action and that you strive to build up the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the words that you have put on my heart tonight. I pray that they haven't gone out and fallen on deaf ears, that whoever needed to hear them, that the hearts have been opened tonight to your words, dear Lord. I pray that the truth of your gospel will continue to spread throughout this world and that Christians will continue to build up other Christians and to go after the one and not worry so much about ourselves. I pray, I just thank you for once again another opportunity to spread the gospel in your name. I pray that as long as I am able, you will continue to give me words to speak. I pray that if there's anyone here tonight, dear Lord, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they come and pray and find you tonight before the world takes over and it's too late for them. I pray if there's any of us who are struggling to make faith an action in our lives, that we can just pray to you and get the confidence and the strength to act out on your behalf and do your will. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.